Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to the Kickoff Show on 95.7 The Game.
Well, it's about that time in the program in which Stogues with Low hits the airwaves. For everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, we got a couple of Cubans. For everybody listening on air, Lorenzo Neal always brings what we hope can be a victory cigar.
Why not?
To the Kickoff Show live at the Hilton Santa Clara. We got Jake Hutchinson with us before the 49ers take on the Chiefs. Gonna stay away from the cigars right now, but maybe we'll have one after the game.
Maybe.
Absolutely. We're not lying. It up. We're just taking the time, Jake. We just got it. We're just pre. It's a little pre.
Terrorist.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Whatever that is, I got you.
Uh-huh.
E. I had a question. I appreciate you sticking around. I know you got to get out of here, act like a tree and leave, but I look at always say football comes in three stages. Offense counts to third, defense counts to third, and special teams counts to third. How big will special teams be in the outcome of this game today?
Listen, people don't like to talk about special teams. I love it. You got your third kicker. You got Anders Carlson, who you might remember because he blew it for the Packers against the 49ers in the playoffs, and Kyle Shanahan did not exactly give a glowing review of Carlson. He was asked, and he's like, you know, what about his kickoffs? And he's like, well, there's a reason these guys are available, which is not what you want to hear from your head coach, who, by the way, doesn't watch any of these kickers try out. It's a concern. It's a guy who is available for a reason, as Shanahan said. He's a guy who's not great on kickoffs, which means you're going to have to cover. Hope your kicker doesn't have to tackle again. I think that's a real concern. Their kickoff coverage has just been so poor this season, and I think that's something that you really got to worry about.
Is he even allowed to tackle?
Shanahan answered that question.
Well, no, I'm serious. Like, they've had two kickers hurt, both on kickoffs where they're trying to get to somebody, and now they're on a guy that clearly Shanahan probably doesn't have much confidence in. I'm also curious because Carlson isn't advertised as a guy with a big leg. You know, he's relatively
right.
Accurate, but where do you think that Shanahan is going to feel comfortable today using Carlson?
I think they're going to try anything inside the 50, but you know, they always end up in a situation where they're not as aggressive as they should be, or they have a little holding call or just something that gets them backed up or a run that gets stuffed, and then like say a 48 turns into like a 54-yard field goal, and they're probably going to end up with like an uncomfortable field goal situation with their third kicker, and Shanahan's probably going to have to trust him in a spot he doesn't want to.
And that's the whole thing we talk about is field position. And this is a game today, when you look at a team like Kansas City, they thrive off field position. They're a team that say, look, let's play the field position. They punt. They believe in their defense. Field position is big. It's one of the pages. It's one of the things that the Niners used to always dominate. It's field position and time and possession. How much of a factor does that play as well?
I think it's huge. I mean, I think the Niners are a team that, I mean, which Mitch Wisnowski's been good, but I think that's really important to them. I think he might honestly handle kickoffs today, to be honest. I know people are probably like, really, we're talking kickoffs, but it does matter. It does matter, especially you cannot give Mahomes an extra yard, anything that's extra in this game. I think, you know, obviously turnovers are the number one thing, but I think if they're going to win this game, they cannot turn the ball over. They cannot have a situation like that, because Mahomes and Reed and Spagnuolo, they're relentless, and they will get you on any edge they have.
Trivia question for, not trivia, but just like, tell me who today, you look at these two teams. I know you said, hey, Kansas City, give them the edge, and understandably so, you have to, because what they've done in the past. Who throws for more yards and why today out of the two quarterbacks?
I would expect Purdy, for sure. I think the 49ers, you know, as much as I talked about, you know, going back to basics last week, I think there are opportunities for them to spread it out and get good matchups with Kittle and get good opportunities there. I think it's probably going to be Purdy. He's just been throwing the ball really well. And Mahomes, again, you know what's funny is they've actually flipped. Like, the 49ers used to be all yak. The 49ers are last in the league on where they get their yards from in the pass game. It's 32% on yak. Mahomes is 64% on yak, which is first in the league. So Mahomes is dinking and dunking, and guys are running after. So I think it depends, honestly, who wins that battle, how well they tackle. If the 49ers defense tackles well, Purdy will have more yards. If they don't tackle well, you might have some explosive plays where it's a five-yard pass and it's ripped off for 40 yards, and then Mahomes passes for more. So I think that might determine it.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about Purdy because, I don't know, it feels like he is now officially established, but he's still relatively young in his career, and the biggest test for him has been a Spagnuolo-led defense. And I just wonder how much of an opportunity you feel like this is for him to prove how much he has grown, how much he has learned, because I thought he played fine in the Super Bowl. You know, he wasn't outstanding, but he certainly wasn't the reason that they lost the football game. I think he does need to be the reason, if they're going to win today, why they win. And that, to me, is where I look for growth from 13.
I'm 100% with you. I think the 49ers' route to winning this game, obviously, run it well, but you might need the best Purdy game of his career, quite honestly, against Spags, against this team. And listen, again, they've all talked about it. The 49ers players talked about it. Like, if they lose, it's not the end of the world, right? The season goes on. It actually doesn't matter on the stat sheet and, you know, in the standings. It doesn't matter that much. But, like, it would be such a gut punch to lose this game. And so I'm with you. It has to be Purdy. I think he answered it. I asked him about Spags and facing the blitzes. He needs to have hot answers, which the 49ers have struggled with. When they blitz, where is the ball going quick? Has to get there. It's going to be tough without Juwan Jennings, who's been that third down answer basically Purdy's whole career. You know, he just gets that advantageous matchup. They give him an option, and he usually wins. Without him, it's going to be tough. I think Purdy needs to trust what he sees, and, like, he's been, you know, kind of jumpy in the pocket. I think he needs to run at certain points this game, but it has to be when it needs to be. Not every snap, not jumping around. When he sees it, trust it, rip it, and then when it's not there, get out.
Hey, I know you got to get out here and act like a tree and get out of here, but last one for me. When you think about where the Niners are and where the Kansas City Chiefs are, you talked about Spags. Here's a guy that's pretty good defensive coordinator and has seemed like the Niners' number. Would you find it interesting that Spags tries to reach out to Purdy? What did you think about all that?
I think
it was a gamesmanship. What did you think? Give me your.
I will say I think Spags is a pretty earnest guy. I've talked to him before these Super Bowls, and he is, like, truly wears it all on his chest. I think there's obviously the Chiefs are good at gamesmanship too. They know how that all works, so I'm sure part of that is the calculation, right? Like, it doesn't hurt to talk up the opposing quarterback, but, you know, he's honest, and I think he realizes Purdy is an elite quarterback and has been playing at a really elite level so far in his career. And the only reason people, I think, don't give him the credit is because he was drafted last, which is really funny because the people that criticize him are usually, like, film experts.
Yeah.
But they don't understand processing for some reason. I mean, he's just, any way you look at it, Purdy is a very, very good quarterback at minimum. And I think Spags recognizes that, and he does it in a way that is not just ripping it down the field 70 yards every single play. It's seen what a defense gives him, and it's taking advantage of it.
Well, appreciate you chopping it up with us for, you know, the last half hour. This has been a lot of fun, dude. Look, we got an extended pregame show today at the Hilton Santa Clara, and Jake Hutchinson, our 49ers insider, big part of it. So thank you, man.
Much appreciated. Thanks, guys.
You're the best.
See you up there in the press box. I mean, look, I do think that's the jumping off point right here. It's about Brock Purdy. This game can be, in many ways, I think, a reason to believe that the Niners can get this season back on track and get it to where it needs to go. And 13 can be a big part of that. That's what franchise quarterbacks do.
He's got to be huge. And that's why I asked the question, because I do see Purdy throwing for more yards than Mahomes. And it wasn't necessarily because they're going to be trailing, because a lot of people say, well, that's because they're going to necessarily be trailing. I see this being a very, very close game, because I haven't seen Kansas City play lights out football this year. I've seen this team struggle. Kelsey's not able to separate like he used to, and you watch Kelsey now. Teams are, you know, trying to take him away. He's still Kelsey. He still can do some amazing things. You're going to have a chance to win this ball game.
You're going to look at this ball game, and this you're going to have some opportunities to have a chance because Kansas City, like you said, is no longer necessarily the big play offense that's going to get those huge explosive plays. So you're going to have a chance. It's how you play and how you handle adversity, and it's going to be what you do up front. That is going to be key. It's going to be paramount. I know we always say it, and it's cliche, but I just have to continue. Football is won and lost in the trenches. And who's going to play best on the trenches in offense and also in defense?
Well, and the Niners' trenches haven't been bad this year. They've been able to help Jordan Mason be one of the leading rushers in football. They've helped Brock Purdy be one of the most prolific passers, yet again, and efficient passers in the game. But how do they hold up against a Kansas City defense that is the strength of their team? I mean, it sounds crazy when you talk about Mahomes or Kelce that the offense is not their best side of the football, but it is. And I think that's where Mahomes, even though statistically he hasn't been as good as in years past when he's won MVPs and all the rest, but he understands that. And so he has the luxury, maybe that Brock Purdy doesn't have right now because his defense hasn't been as stout, but Mahomes has the luxury to read a football game, to read the story of a game, and I think that's why Jake brought it up. And we talked about this. Yeah. The Chiefs will give up points early in games. The Chiefs will give up a touchdown on the first drive, maybe a field goal here. They're not afraid from playing from behind because they know how to adjust. And a big part of that is Mahomes understanding what his defense is going to do and give him field position, opportunities, and also knowing that he can get a little uncareful with the football if he needs to. He's got 6 interceptions this year.
Right.
But they're 5-0. So this is a football team that even if you get the takeaway you need, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Chiefs, and you said this earlier, they're never out of it.
No, they're not. And that's why when I think about some things that are very, very important, you talked about it earlier. We know we haven't necessarily got any keys, and here's one of them that I'm going to talk about and continue to talk about. You talked about how this team can charge Kansas City and move the ball with success, and that's the outside. Mm-hmm. Being able with Jordan Mason, be able to hit the perimeter, stretch this team. If you can have success running the ball, especially to these perimeters and getting outside and reaching guys and pushing guys out and give the running back some lanes, I really believe that this will be a big day where Kyle Shanahan moves the pocket. If Mason in the running game is having success on these outside, on these perimeters, look for this stretch and look for these boots to get Purdy outside the pocket on the backside because they're going to be trying to stop the run because the run is going to be effective. And now Purdy becomes even more dangerous because now he's outside. He can run our pass. He's got the crossings coming in front of him. He can have the deep shot down the field. I think you move the pocket today, and you'll see Purdy do things with his legs and with the ball and put Kansas City in a tough position if they can make Kansas City have that end crash down and if they can have success running the ball to get Purdy out.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Outside the pocket today.
Well, and I think that the question of who's going to throw for more yards between Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes, I do think it is going to be Purdy. I'm with both you guys, Jake and yourself, Lo. But I also believe that if the Chiefs are going to win this game, Mahomes doesn't need to outpass Purdy.
No.
But if the Niners are to win this game, I do think that Purdy is going to have to outpass Mahomes. I do think he's going to have to dominate there because offensively, even though the Chiefs are down to Kareem Hunt, who they signed out the street, Samaje Perine is a decent pass-catching back, but his best days are probably behind him. Carson Steele has been relegated. They don't have a great running back room. They're out Rashee Rice for the entire season. Xavier Worthy is their lone explosive rookie, but they run a lot of three tight end sets. They put guys on the field that aren't necessarily massive names outside of Travis Kelce, but The 49ers, meanwhile, like they, I do think, for example, like this is a big opportunity for Brandon Ayuk. This he has had a big game, and it was against the Patriots.
Yes.
But this is when you need those players that you pay the kind of money that Brandon Ayuk makes to make plays, and especially if Brandon Ayuk's strength is supposed to be able to beating man coverage. Well, this is a Kansas City defense that offers it. This is a game where Brandon Ayuk needs to find himself open more often than not, especially with Juwan Jennings being out, because Brock Purdy has seemingly so far through this year had more of a developed chemistry just because of the lack of training camp for Ayuk with Juwan Jennings. That option, that safety blanket is not there today for them. So Brandon Ayuk has to be that safety blanket, I think.
Oh, I agree. I think that also, if you can have Jordan Mason get his buck 25 and the Niners have 150 yards rushing, they win this game. And they win it pretty much hands down. If they can get 160 yards or more, they win, because now you're running and you're passing. Now you're eating up the clock. And if you score, not just run the ball, but get in the end zone, now you're eating up the clock. And you're making Chris Jones now not have the energy that he needs to have on these passing downs. If you can control the sticks and if you can control the run game, and this Niner says, hey, these Niner guys say, we're going to win on first and second down and run the ball and run it effectively, now you put the onus. Now Chris Jones is not that on pass rushes. He's not as effective, because you watch him on pass downs. He splits double teams. He's in the backfield because he's so quick with his hands and he's got that first great step. Now if you can wear him out and he's got to think run and he's got to play the run and now you move the pocket, that's what you got to do. You got to wear him out. You got to wear this defensive front out. You cannot just say, okay, we're going to sit and try to throw the ball, because that's when Kansas City starts to feast. I was down there in L.A. when I saw Kansas City and the Chargers and saw the way that game transpired. Chargers winning, drives all the way down to the one-yard line, has an opportunity, and Kansas City, by just wearing them out, made the Chargers one-dimensional and have to just have a quarterback get back there and throw the ball for the whole game. When you do that, that's when Kansas City become deadly and almost unbeatable. If you have to just sit there and say, we have to throw the ball, I think the Niners run into a big buzzsaw and they have problems if they can't have success running the ball.
Well, and the Chargers only ran for 55 yards in that football game.
Right.
The Chiefs have not allowed a 100-yard rusher to this point this season. Against the Ravens, they gave up a 185 on the ground, but a lot of that was to Lamar Jackson. Derrick Henry, who, by the way, leads the league in rushing, was relatively shut down by Kansas City. So they have done a very good job of keeping lead backs in check. So I'm 100% with you that if they can run for a century mark, if they can even get close to a century mark.
120, you got to get over 100. You need to beat Kansas City to get over 100. You're right. If you can get 125 is enough. If you get there, for me, and not one play 70 yards, of course, it's 4 yards, 3 yards. And if you can do that, have 30 totes for 125 to 130, I think you switch the chances. I think you win that game if that happens.
Yeah, and good news for the 49ers, of course, Jordan Mason is a full go. Obviously, he was banged up in the Seattle game and was dealing with some stuff. Isaac Garrendo stepped up. I think Garrendo's a capable back, but he doesn't give you the juice. He doesn't give you the
power,
the brunt force of Jordan Mason. And so, you know, even though people have made, and Jake talked about it too, you know, that where McCaffrey helps you could be in the red zone. He could be as a pass catcher. He's obviously a game breaker. But Jordan Mason does give something that I don't believe they've really had, because a lot of their running backs have been built on speed.
Right.
They've been able to beat you outside of the tackles. But Jordan Mason wins inside the tackles, and that's arguably where you have to beat Kansas City.
No question. You have to beat them inside the tackles, and you got to make Kansas City tackle you. When you got these arm tackles, Jordan Mason, you know he runs through arm tackles, and Grindle does as well. So it's going to be big if these guys, how hard they run and run physical, and make the Kansas City defense have to make a business decision and say, we got to stick our head in here and we got to tackle. That's going to be paramount for this offense, for their success. We know what Purdy can do, scrambling and making plays. I get that. But more so than any time this year, the running game is going to have to work, because like you talked about, Chargers had 50 yards. They haven't given up a 100-yard game, and guess what? They haven't hardly gave up 100 yards, and like you talked about, Baltimore got over 100, and Baltimore at the end of the game had a chance to win it. Guys foot out the end zone. Yeah. You go look at teams that's had success running the ball. That was a game they could have lost. Now, if the Niners can run the ball and have over 100, 125, 130 yards rushing, you change the game. You change the game. If you have to sit there and you say, okay, yeah, we know that Purdy's going to throw the ball, and yes, he can throw it and be effective. But if they don't have over 125 yards rushing, I don't think they win this ball game. That's just my personal opinion.
No, I mean, I think you're right. And that's why, look, this game is a game that psychologically the Niners, we agree, need more than the Chiefs. And, look, I appreciate all those storylines of, you know, they got more urgency, they want to get revenge. But at the end of the day, it does come down to football. And the Kansas City Chiefs are still a damn good football team. And I'm sure every one of their opponents so far, the first five opponents that they've played, have felt like there have been opportunities to beat Kansas City. They haven't won a game by more than, I think, 9 points, yeah. Or 7 points. Or, well, I guess, sorry, New Orleans, they beat by 13. But I'm saying, like, the first four opponents of their season were single-digit victories.
Right.
I'm sure all of those opponents felt like there were chances for them in that football game. And that's the only thing, I guess, that gives me a little hesitation, is I don't want to be sitting in that locker room or in that press conference room at the end of the game listening to Shanahan or Trent Williams or George Kittle say, we had those chances, but we couldn't use them. Because that's the one thing that's really been synonymous with KC, is that when they get opportunities, they capitalize. You know, last year, I don't know if there's a moment that stands out to you from that Super Bowl, but for me, watching it back this week, Lo, it was the muff punt into the touchdown. The Niners are up 10-6. They had opportunities in the first half to go up by more. They didn't. Credit to the Chiefs. But 10-6, third quarter, Ray McLeod, along with Daryl Luter Jr., they muff a punt. Next play, the Chiefs score a 13-yard touchdown, flip the script of the game, and all of a sudden, they're in control. Those are the kinds of plays that Kansas City takes advantage of. And unfortunately for the Niners, so far this season, they have not been able to do it as well.
No, you're absolutely right. And the missed field goal at the end of those games. So they're right there in these ball games, and that's the biggest thing. Can you finish? Can you find a way as a Niners team to say, you know what, we're going to win the championship round? That's it. That's what it's going to come down to. The Niners, if they're up by, you know, three or, you know, four in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left, everybody in that stadium is not going to be feeling good, because previous experience shown that they haven't fared well. And guess what? The guys on that team's not going to be feeling good, because they've been in a Super Bowl where they're winning. They just need to stop, and they're up by three and feel in the Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl, and they couldn't get a stop. So we are creatures of habit. Sometimes we revert back to what we know and what we've seen. And that's what's big, and that's why this Niner team is good for the psyche. They know they can play with this Kansas City team. They know that they're just as good, if not better, as far as talent. They know that they can play with them. That's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know if they can beat them.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that we have not seen. And I don't want, you know, as I digress and talk, you know, switch gears real quick. Our guy Tim told me a story today that my man Tim, you know, he's my guy. You know, Tim's a boy. The man makes it happen. He sets everything up for us. So he and I were over at the stadium, because, you know, you're flying in from Vegas, getting it in, getting crazy last night. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm surprised you're here, but you're here. Bachelor party. You made it, and you sound good, and you look good. Your eyes are not red.
Well,
you're not
this for?
Yeah, I know you weren't going to miss this, but
you
had the Visine, whatever you did, but man, yeah. I mean, you're pretty in the face, you're slim in the waist, you look good, look like you slept a little bit. You're in Vegas. I don't know if I would have made it back today.
Emphasis on a little bit.
I don't know if I would have made it back. So I'm over there and like, damn, it's going to be a good game. Like, he goes, man, you know, I had, you know, me and Tim, we go back, you know, got 6, 7, you know, 8, 9 years now. It's crazy how time flies. And his wife, love her to death, and she's a Bengal fan. You know, I brought Icky on last year, a couple years back. Icky Woods come in here, and you know, she's here, and we have a good time. And she's telling him how she loves the Bengals. She tells him, so he's just like, "Lord, I feel good. You know, we got him with the Niners win. I put my Niner flag out today." And his wife said, "See that Niner flag, but you better tell me you bought a Cincinnati flag as well." I was like, I was dying. That's a true story, right, Tim? True story. This is what it's like. So, I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, as I digress, think about how the fans and what they're feeling. We're talking about football. That's you and I talking about it. We know the players, they're in a different place because they're in it. They're in the game. We're outside talking about it, and people are listening to us. How about these fans? Where are these fans? You know, you've talked to, you know, I get to talk to Tim. You talk talk to different people and watching the fans and where, you know, what do they got to be thinking, especially about this matchup?
Well, it's funny you say that because naturally a lot of people flying in from Vegas this morning were flying in to this football game. I mean, just get off at San Jose International and it's Chiefs fans, it's Niners fans, people coming in from the Midwest, making their connecting flights. I don't know if they're on red eyes. Right. I don't know if they're coming in early, coming off the bingo and craps table. I don't know what they were doing, but one of the airline pilots was also a KC fan, so he was talking mess like over the loudspeaker.
Oh, wow.
Hello, welcome everyone. This is flight 152. We're going from Las Vegas to San Francisco. We're going to be making a pit stop in Santa Clara where the Chiefs will beat the 49ers.
Oh!
And like, and just over the loudspeaker, and everyone's erupting, they're talking trash. So it's all in good fun, but I do wonder if there's a nervousness about it from the Niners side because you haven't beat them yet. You know you can, but you haven't. You can't say that you've officially taken the crown from the Kings. And right now the Kings are in Kansas City. And whether they're flying in from Vegas, whether they're flying in from Missouri, on the opposite side of the river in Kansas, wherever they're coming from, there is a lot of confidence on that side. And apparently there's a lot of confidence on my flight too.
Oh, no question. You just saw the big brother walking through right here. He had the Mahomes jersey on.
Is that Chris Jones?
Yeah, it looked like Chris. Oh, exactly. Yeah. It looks like Chris Jones. He's about 6'7". I mean, this big guy walking through. And he's got the Kansas City Chiefs jersey on. And you watch him walk through with the swag. You just saw. And it's crazy just to watch a team if you're a Kansas City fan. And that's what kind of sparked this. You watch fans and you look at sometimes their demeanor. Kansas City, they walk in here cocky, chest puffed out. Like, look, we're coming in here to take your lunch money. We're going to take your cornbread. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And you watch the aura of the team. Their team, sometimes your fans, they have that same type of bravado. When you look at teams that are losing, you'll watch their fans. They'll come in with bags on their head. Mm-hmm. They'll come in like, oh, here we go again today. You just see it. It's a different. They expect to lose. You don't see that as a Niner fans today. No, they're you know, they want to just get this monkey off their back. So it's a Niners are a good team, but you see the fans, the Kansas City Chiefs fans. You just look at them. They take on the same type of bravado as their team does.
Well, and of course, we can see the faces on all of these 49ers and Chiefs fans right outside of the Hilton Santa Clara. It's a fantastic vibe. People are partying, having fun before the 125 kick between the Niners and the Chiefs, the Super Bowl rematch here in Week 7. Evan Giddings, Lorenzo Neal, will take a break, be back on the kickoff show on the other side, of course, as always, presented by Habis Law. If you've been wronged, Habis Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabisLaw.com. Call us, 888-957-9570. What are you feeling right now? If you're a Niners fan, are you feeling nervous? Are you dancing like a guy outside in a Jerry Rice jersey? Are you Patrick Mahomes gigging on the left? What are you feeling right now as you drive towards Levi's Stadium? Or are you prepared to watch this football game between the Chiefs and the 49ers? 888-957-9570. We're back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Real great products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now back to the kickoff show on 95.7 The Game.
Dude, I think Tim Jordan is right, Lo.
What's that?
I have never seen this many people dancing outside of the Hilton Santa Clara.
They are crunked out here. I'm telling you, you got the music flowing. I mean, you got to watch this. These people are out here. You even got Nick Chubb from the Browns out here getting crazy. I mean, this is absolutely a party. This place is lit. Football is here. This is a big game. You talked about it earlier, E, that how big this game is. And just you're talking about just the atmosphere. Take them through what this atmosphere is like today on Sunday with the Niners playing to Kansas City. Me and you, we've been here. Mm. But this one, man, it seems like it just takes the cake.
No, there's a lot more juice. Shout out Kyle Juszczyk in the building. There's a lot more going on outside. And again, you know, stop on by. It's a great place to have a drink, enjoy a little bit of friends and family. Apparently, salsa dance with someone wearing a Nick Chubb jersey outside. They're having a great time. And not to say that there isn't always juice outside here, but there's something else in the building today because of who's in town. And it's a Super Bowl rematch. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the San Francisco 49ers. It's the class of the NFC and the AFC for the last few seasons. The Niners individually have to still prove it this year. The Chiefs are the 5-0 team that they need. Someone needs to knock them off. Can the Niners do it? We'll see. But as far as the fans are concerned, I do feel feel like this is a big game. You know, we've been talking about all week how, all right, you lose this football game, well, you know, and then you're 3-4, and you know, maybe you got to climb back up in the division, and the one seed's not looking good. All that as well. But if you're out here on Sunday, if you're driving out right now, listening to your car, you're looking for a victory. You're looking for the letter W against a team that has done it to you far too often. And yes, you can't account for past sins, you can't right what was wrong, but you can still beat the team that is, to your point, taking your lunch more often than not.
No question. And that's why I'm feeling so good. I'm about to do the cubic shuffle. Down to your day. I mean, that's how they're jamming. I'm feeling the energy. The juice is going. Like you said, this team has beat you more often than not. And you're like, God, how do we figure this thing out? The crowd's feeling it. The energy's here. I'm telling you, this is going to be a showdown. I think this is going to be a classic game because of this, the Chiefs and the Niners. Mm-hmm. Because of you see what's been happening the last several years, these teams have gotten together. I think the Niners are due. I'm telling you, man. I'm just like so fired up. I'm trying to relax because I know we still got some time. But man, for me as a player,
turn to these people. I've been burning calories since 9:30.
They have been amped out here. They're doing the Cupid shuffle right now. Man, and I want to. I can to the left, to the left. Now kick. It's like I, as a player, when I'm driving in, these players, they drive into the stadium, or you take the bus to the stadium, and you're escorted by the police. Or if you're driving in, you got to be here 2 hours early, and you know they let you in. They see you. Hey, they'll clear the lane for you. You feel different. People recognize you. I remember driving to the stadiums, wherever I was playing, wherever team that I was on, the home team, where they're driving or coming on a bus. I'm telling you, man, it's something that's inside of you as a player. You have to stay calm.
Mm-hmm.
Getting on that bus or driving my car and staying at the hotel the night before, getting up in the morning, going to chapel service, getting something to eat, getting inside, the, you know, where you're inside there eating breakfast before the game. You know, breakfast starts from like 7 to 9 or 7 to 10.
Most important meal of the day.
Yes, and you have that meal and you eat light. You don't go too heavy. You know, it's some fruit. It's a bowl of oatmeal, maybe a little eggs, and you're just like, I just had one pancake, not two, not three. I had that, a little bit of oatmeal, some fruit, lots of water. You know, drinking some hydrate, get a little hydration, getting that in, taking my morning vitamins. And then, you know, boom, after you eat, okay, then you head to chapel, and then you're like, okay, I'm going on an early bus. You get on that bus, and you're just driving over. You're not laughing. You're not freaking joking around on the phone. Man, you're in a different place. You have your playbook with you, and you're going, if you're on a bus, you're going over each play, and you're just going through the top 15. Because the night before, offensively, you go through the top 20 or top 15 or top the dirty dozen, the plays you're going to go through. Mm-hmm. You walk through them, so coaches want you to know, visualize that. You take your test on Saturday during the day. You have to turn it in that night. The coach gets a record, grades it out. Your running back coach hands it to you. See what you did. Go over it. Hey, question mark here. What do you think here? So you go through. Then the hay's in the barn. And then you go through the walkthrough that night. And then that morning you get up and, man, you go to the chapel. You do your thing. You eat. And you're like getting ready to get on that bus. And you have your bags and you get on the bus. And on the way over, you're driving through traffic and you're watching the fans and you're seeing everyone tailgating. You watch. And you get to the stadium. You get out of your clothes. You know, you put on some shorts. You know, you get ready. You sit in your little locker. You go over the plays again. When you put that playbook down and put it up, It's like, okay. So these guys over there, the game starts in, you know, 2 hours, you know, 12 o'clock, almost 12 o'clock, in an hour and 20 or so. Guys are on the field. You start getting dressed. You get some shorts. You get tape. You say, okay, now I'm going to go out and just warm up. Without your pads on, you just wanted whatever, whether it's stretch. I had a ritual, or I had one of the trainers. He would always come in and do my neck. I'd get him to hold a towel, and I'd get on the edge of the edge of the bench. He would do my neck, get all the muscles loosened up. Then he would do a certain stretch. He'd push me side to side, get my body firing up. Then you walk out on that field, man. You have your headsets on. You got a certain music that you listen to. Hearts on fire, strong desire. I'm listening to some Rocky. I'm going through that vision quest. I loved that. I'm outdating myself, but I loved that music and I loved it, and it would put me there. And then I would go with, you know, a little Kurt Franklin, make me clap my hands. I wanted to stomp, and I've been running my four laps and I'm listening to my music. I'm getting a little lathered up. I got my shirt. I'm walking by and I'm running by and I see different guys. They know, they nod at you. You nod at them. You ain't hugging. You ain't necessarily laughing. You might give them a little, but you like, That's mine today. He mine today. You look at the linebacker. You look at the guys who you size it up. He mine today. You get warmed up, man. You just start to, okay, cool. I got like an hour before kickoff. Now I got it going. You got a little sweat going. You lather it up. You know what this game means. You know how big it is. You know you got family in the stands. You know, hey, this team has owned you. You know what everyone's been saying all week. Why not us? And you've already had the media. You've been looking, reading the paper, what everyone's been saying. Now it's like talking's over. You go back in that locker room. You get in there. You know, you're all sweaty because you just warmed up. Get undressed. You shower. You take that shower, wash off the sweat. You're like, man, let me get that. This is my ritual. I would get friggin' showered, soap up, because then I'm getting ready to go to work. When you go to work in the morning, you take a shower, brush your teeth, do all those things. I redid everything. Took a shower. I already was sweating. My body's nice and loose. I went in that shower, got in the cold shower, cooled off, gotten in. I get taped. Then I put on my shorts. I'd walk in the training room, get taped. The big fella get the tape. Go ahead and get all taped up and say, okay, now get your pads. You have already have your jerseys already over your shoulder pads because it's tight. Now you start putting on your gladiator outfit. It looked like you're getting ready to go to fight then, baby. You start feeling. You're like, okay, here we go. Now you start putting on your pads. You hear the guy, you hear your strength coach say, early outs, RBs, offensive line, out in 10. You're like, oh, good God. So now you go, and I found me a little hiding place, you know, and I go find me a little quiet place where no one's out. I would drop on my knee and say, Lord, just protect me. I don't need you to give me victory. Just protect me and let me do what I know that I can do, what you've given me the power to do. And then, man, you hear like 4 minutes. Man, go in there and see the doctor. I'd get that little Toradol, that little extra shot. Woo! Give him that energy. You know, Tim, because I knew I was going to bang some hands, and I knew I was going to be physical out there. And I'd get that Toradol shot. And then I knew then I had that tea in me. And I was like, okay, let's go. And you walk down that tunnel. Remember me and LT would walk down. He's all right. I tell him, look at him, I say, get on my hip and don't dip. Let's ride, Daddy. Call out the dogs and piss on the fire. Let's go. And you walk out and then you run out and the crowd's already out there. And then you're in full pads and now you run out. Boom, now your offense, defense, you start going through your drill, your coach. And you're like, you just looking. And your mind is just, you ain't talking to no one. You already know what you're doing. Coach says, go, you catching, pat and go. You get the receivers, pat and go. You're doing the pat and go. That's where you get in the line. The quarterback throw the ball, you loosen it up. Then you break down after that. You get a team, getting ready to go team. Then after your team, the field goal team get out there. You kick a field goal, you go back in that locker room. And then you got like 10 minutes before you come out. That time, man, is just like you get your water. You just sit back in your locker. Guys aren't saying nothing. No one's even talking. It's quiet as a church mouse in there. Everyone's just getting their mind right, doing their last thing. Might look at your book one more time, but everyone's just quiet and you're thinking about your assignment. It's quiet. No one's yelling. It's not a bunch of crazy stuff going on. It's just okay. And then they say, all right, 2 minutes before we go. Teams get together. We say the Lord's Prayer as a team. You get up. Now the music comes on. You get in that tunnel, and here we go. And you're getting ready to walk on that field. Now the stadium's completely full. That's what I love. And then when you come out, and you look out, and you hear it. Yeah, and, man, it's like you're a gladiator walking out on that field. And it's like, now it's time. Now it's time, baby. So that's what I'm looking for. I mean, today when I'm watching these fans and I'm watching this stuff, man, it just took me back into that moment and what the process was like. And then, man, you still feel it. Then you have the national anthem. All that stuff that's going around, you know, man, depends on who sings, man. You feel it, the tears, and you know, because you're blessed to be able to play this game. You're a grown man playing a kid's game, getting a king's ransom, and you're getting ready to go play against other men that want to take you, that's going to take your job, that's trying to destroy you, that's trying to beat you, that think they're tougher than you, think that they can break your will. You're getting ready to go out there and say, it's me today. I'm beating you. You are not beating me. I'm beating you. That's what it's about. And you still got a little bit of nerves. And then once that ball's kicked off, and you go out, then it's a calm. It all goes away, and it's like, now I'm in my arena. Now I'm playing football. Now I'm doing what I love to do, and it's a peace, and it's a calmness that comes over you. But all that stuff leading up to it, it's the nerves, the body, the anticipation until it starts. And then you're in your moment. That's what this is about today, bro.
Well, and that's how you know that this game is massive.
Right.
Lorenzo Neal just got taken back.
Yes.
15, 20 years. into the chamber. And you did this for such a long time, too. This was every single Sunday.
Every single Sunday.
Every 7 days this ritual is going down. And that's the kind of thing. I'm sure sometimes it's, you know, maybe, all right, an opponent's a little bit lighter. It's not as big of a game as a Super Bowl rematch. It's not as big of a game as Patrick Mahomes coming to town. But these games, these specific kinds of games, that's why people have been dancing for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Lowe is ready to get another Tordal shot. That's why.
I know. You see me over here fidgeting at me. Yeah. I'm like, man, what I would wish to go back in time for a game like this, Tim. I mean, just to be able to walk on that field like this day today, when you see the crowd and just the energies here, man, I miss this game. I miss it.
Well, and that's why when you hear earlier in the week, and I understand it's, you know, they got to talk to the media and after practice and players are basically giving us the coach speak, right? Well, it's just another game. You know, it's not actually this and that. But and I might believe it on Tuesday. I might believe it on Wednesday. Might even believe it on Thursday. But when you get to Sunday, and you know this, but even being able to go down and talk to these players after the game, win or loss, you can tell what it takes out of them, not just physically, but mentally when they play an opponent like this. And so that's one of the reasons that I'm excited about this game. Yes, I want to see who wins between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. But I also want to go into the depths of Levi's Stadium after the game. I want to get down there on the field before the game, feel what it's like and what these players are preparing to put themselves through and what they're prepared to talk about afterwards, because it is an emotionally draining sport unlike any other, which I personally know nothing about, but just from hearing your soliloquy, yeah, have just a glimpse into what it takes just to get ready for that moment. And that's why I feel like all these fans are so excited today.
Oh, no question, man. They are. And that was just one of those moments, man, because it's, you know, you get excited and, you know, I'm back in reality. I can't go out there and play. Gosh darn it. I wish I could. I thought for a minute there, I was getting ready. Hope that, you know, Coach Shanahan heard that speech and like, all right, let's go get Lo Neal out here for one play and watch him fall apart after the play. Yeah, he'd be crying. Come pick him up off the field. But yeah, it's just that moment. And yeah, so I get what these fans are feeling. I get what these players are feeling, anxiety that they you have in anticipation, especially a game of this magnitude. And, you know, hey, you know, it's even big because, you know, our boy Tim got the sign. Like he said, he's now, since I said that, now he's ordering his wife a Cincinnati Bengals flag as well. So you just know how big this is and the magnitude of this game. Yes, if the Niners lose this game, is it the end of the season? No. But I'm going to tell you right now, it still hurts. It hurts as a fan. You watch these fans when they leave here, and some of them just, you know, head down and just upset. And, man, I don't care. It's still, yeah, I know it's a game. I know this isn't the end of the season. But I'm telling you, it's the bragging rights. It's to get the monkey off your back. It's to say, look, we won this game. It's to feel better, because you can't never, even though no matter what, the only thing will get rid of this taste is to beat them in the Super Bowl. But right now, to have this satisfaction, this gratification right now today, I'm telling you, man, it goes a long ways for the team. It goes a long ways for the players. It goes a long ways for the front office. It goes a long ways for the coaches. It gives the fans a little more swag. It gives the players a little more swag. It makes the injuries go away. It just makes guys understand that being sore, it's okay to be sore. That's what this game does. That's what this win does for this team, man. It just gives them an emotional boost that they need.
Well, and conversely, you know, obviously we would love the Niners to win this football game. A loss also, of course, doesn't kill your season.
No,
you got a big game next week at home against Dallas. You still got a chance if you lose this game to end at the bye 4-4, and they've made plenty of deep postseason runs at that juncture in years past. But it's that big brother, little brother type of battle right now. And the little brother is getting older, maybe hit puberty, starting to hit the weight room a little bit, getting a little larger. But the big brother always has that psychological advantage, that knowledge of knowing that I've pinned you 18 times since we've been alive, each and every year on your birthday, I'm coming, and you can't stop it. And so that's what I feel like the Niners are right now. They are the Kansas City Chiefs' little brother. And that's why I would like to see them win this football game more than anything else, is the fact that they can finally say that they did go up and whoop Big Bro. It's not gonna bring home the rings, but a loss to me also it's I guess confirmation of what we're afraid of what, like, the reason for the nervousness, the reason for the tension, which eventually will build and probably, you know, in an hour or so, and maybe around 1 o'clock before the 1:25 kick, that tension will begin to settle in, and that nervousness maybe on the third down in the second quarter, right, the 2-minute drill right before the half, the third quarter with the way that this team has been playing, some of the second half jitters. I think a lot of fans will begin to feel that, but for right now, the vibe is good, and then once the game starts, all that extra anxiety you were talking about begins to rush in.
Oh, no question. You know, you talked about the big brother, and it's crazy that you're sitting here telling this story. And I remember being in high school, man, and, you know, my freshman year, you know, went to the Valley. It took second in the Valley. My brother was 2 years ahead of me. You know, he didn't necessarily place that year. The second year, I'm a sophomore. I go to the state. He missed the state, you know, and he was a go. But he always could beat me. He's 2 years older than my brother, mm-hmm. Eddie. And, you know, but it's a big brother mentality. And probably my sophomore year, I thought and I knew that I probably could beat him, but because he was older and my bigger brother, we'd wrestle and go at it, and he would barely win. But I knew I was holding back.
Yeah.
I knew because he had the psychological edge on me. And until I was like, when I got my senior high school, he's in college, and then he wrestled in JC, and my freshman, I lived on, you know, Lemoore out there in the country. We lived on the farm, and we're out there in the summertime and doing some irrigating, and there's a ditch back there, and we're out there in the field, in the middle of the field, and he grabs me, and I knew that I could have took him my sophomore year, and my junior and senior year, and I knew, but I was in college, and I dirted him. I got him, picked him up, dropped him, had him. He said, "Oh man, stop. But it was because I let it go. And, it was tired of saying, "Oh, I got it. Can I beat him?" It was like, I knew. The Niners got to let it go. The Niners are a better team than Kansas City. They have better receivers. You have a better pass rush. Now, Kansas City's defense, statistically, right now, their defense looks better. Let's be real.
Yeah.
But if you talk about, would I rather have the Niners offense or Kansas City offense? Let's be real. The Niners offense is better. And linebackers, the Niners linebackers better. They haven't played like they're capable. You got to let this go and say, "I'm tired of this big brother. I know that I can beat my big brother. I got to quit saying, oh, well, this is supposed to happen. I'm keeping this close. Should we do that? No, stop. It's time to say, no, big brother. No, I know you're bigger, whatever. You might have won, but I can beat you." And that's what this team, they have to do that. If they do that and play like they're capable with all the talent and the guys they have, their best is good enough. They just have to play good football, don't make less mistakes than Kansas City, win the turnover battle, and they beat their big brother today.
Well, and let's just take the two offenses, for example, because I think it's a perfect illustration of why it's so hard to have an objective conversation in football. The Niners' offense, objectively, has performed better than the Kansas City Chiefs' offense this season. But if you bring that up to anybody, they say, "Well, how can you take Purdy over Mahomes? How can you take Kittle over Kelce? How can you take anybody? How can you take Shanahan over Reed?" The offense is constructed by the holy trinity of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce. But as a whole, the running game, the receivers, the skill position players, in combination with the quarterback, with the offensive line, though they've had some struggles up front, Kansas City doesn't have perfect tackles on the outside. They hold more than anybody in football. We'll see if they throw the flags today. My point is, objectively, the Niners have performed better offensively. But when you bring that up to somebody, they can throw the Mahomes, the rings, the losses in your face. That's another reason why a win today would be big. Also, just for football conversations, because we can finally talk about these two teams as they are, and not just what their record says they are against each other.
No question. And that's the part where they say Mahomes throw more interceptions than Purdy. Now, is Mahomes maybe a little faster? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think he's quicker. If they go 10 yards, Purdy's got one of the fastest 10 yards in the league, you know, as far as quarterback. So talk about scrambling. Now, Mahomes might be a little bit more elusive, but Mahomes can scramble just as well. Mahomes can get out of the pocket and create and run, pick up more yards running. Did you go look at who's got more rushing between Mahomes and Purdy? Go look. Now, Mahomes, yeah, he can throw the ball probably better. He can do those things better. But is it by a landslide? No. Purdy can run the ball. Purdy's probably has more rushing yards than
he does.
Purdy is friggin' electrifying. He can scramble. He can get in and out of places. He's deadly with his legs. So, now, of course, I think Mahomes is a better quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback in the league. But let me tell you that Purdy is not like, no, Purdy, man, is efficient. And Purdy can do what he has to do. I think Purdy can outplay him. I really believe, and not that he's better, but Purdy does a lot more. He has to do a lot more for the Niners to win than Mahomes has to.
Well, and if you'd like to answer our question from earlier, again, our 49ers and center, Jake Hutchinson, joined us. Low asking the question, who do you think is going to throw for more yards, Brock or Patrick? Is it going to be Purdy? Is it going to be Mahomes? There's some other things that we can throw your way as we move forward here. 888-957-9570. We got about an hour and 15 left until we're going to be off the air, taking you up until 1:25, the kickoff between the Niners and the Chiefs. Also, make sure to tap in after the game, after the final whistle, for overtime with Mark Grandy, Sterling Bennett, and Kyle Madsen. They'll be breaking this thing down for you. The biggest regular season game of the season for the 49ers as the Kansas City Chiefs come to town to Levi's Stadium here this weekend. This is the Kickoff Show presented by Habas Law. If you've been wronged, Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. I do want to dig deeper into these offenses and really dissecting how good this Kansas City Chiefs team really is. They're 5-0. Should they be? Have they a chance? Should they be 6-0 at the end of the day? I think there's a real conversation to be had about how good this team is in comparison, of course, to the 49ers. We'll continue that as we move on the Kickoff Show live from the Hilton Santa Clara. Stop by, grab a brew, say what's up. Lorenzo Neal, Evan Giddings, back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.